Hi, welcome to Medical Musings with Sam. This is a podcast for anyone whose lives are affected by chronic illness and are looking for hope in what can feel like a really hopeless situation. I'm a blogger, a writer, and founder of the online support group Medical Musings with Friends. I'm also the author of My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith, and hope living with a rare disease. Before becoming chronically ill, I was an executive manager with a passion for change management, coaching, and developing my team. Medical Musings with Sam is a podcast all about connecting with others who are trying to live well with chronic illness in the midst of difficult challenges and hurdles. Come on a journey with me, and together we can share our experiences of living a life of purpose, faith, and hope despite our diseases. Hi everyone, welcome back to Medical Musings with Sam. As promised yesterday in my episode about trolling, I have a brand new episode for you today, and it's right back to what you're more used to with Medical Musings with Sam, which is just me musing about living life with chronic illness and the anecdotal things that happen in life as a result of, living with crazy diseases and particularly living with my husband with my crazy disease. So today is, as I said, back to the grassroots of Medical Musings with Sam. And I want to talk about swapping sleeping sides after 28 years. And did we achieve it? Let's find out. My husband and I have been married for almost 28 years, and honestly, I can't believe that. That time has just gone so fast. I remember still being the bride. I remember my wedding day so clearly. I was just so present. I wanted to be present that entire day and just soak it all up, and I did. And, you know, my husband and I planned the entire day. We organized everything ourselves. We were just invested in it completely, and it just really did pay off, and it's just such a beautiful memory, and it doesn't seem like it's such a long distant memory even. It just honestly feels like it happened yesterday. So I'm really fortunate that that's the case, and I remember thinking, you know, what would it be like to celebrate 25 years of marriage, and, you know, wondering whether we'd even get that far, and not because of our love, just because, you know, you don't know what happens in life. But we did, and we've celebrated that, and now we're heading towards our 30th wedding anniversary, and it's amazing. It feels very surreal. Anyway, I digress. So what I want to talk about is that we have been sleeping on the same side of the bed for, each of us on different sides, obviously, for 28 years. So I have slept on the left-hand side of the bed, and my husband has slept on the right-hand side of the bed, and it's just always felt comfortable, always felt right for whatever reason. It's just like, that's our side. That's our zone. cross over when invited. Otherwise, that's our zone. I'm sure many of you can relate to that, particularly after being married for a long time. So I want to go back a few days. Probably about 5 days ago now. It was 5 a.m. and I was starting to write a blog post about this particular topic. So it was 5 a.m. and I wasn't in bed. I had got up. I was so exhausted from an overbusy week, and I so needed to be in bed. I needed to be comfortable. I needed to feel secure. But most importantly, I needed to feel free from an elbow that was bent in such a way that it was like a bow waiting for its arrow to be inserted and fired directly into the side of my spine. In fact, on a few occasions, that is actually what happened. Too dramatic? Maybe, maybe not. It felt that bad, particularly at 5 a.m. So I knew I had no choice, but I had to escape to a safer, more comfortable place. And for those of you that know me well, let's face it, the only thing that was going to help me recover from such a nocturnal attack like that was a trusty cup of tea. So my first pit stop was to get the walker, and then I had to put the kettle on, and then I had to, which is always a drama with my back as it is, get to my comfortable chair and breathe a sigh of relief with a beautiful hot cup of tea in a beautiful mug and just sit there and sip it and dwell upon the fact that something clearly wasn't right in my life at that moment and it needed to change. So, why were we swapping sides? Why do that when, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy change to make when you have been doing the same thing from a sleep perspective for 28 years. And I love change. I'm a change advocate. I've been a change management consultant. Change is my thing. But I don't know why. When it comes to changing bedsides, it's just not something that we've ever yet achieved. However, our lives were yet again being disrupted by my disease. So I was due to get a new wheelchair, which we thought was going to be, we knew it was always going to be for outside use and going, you know, around the village when I needed to, or get to the clubhouse and those kind of things, which is where the office is and that sort of thing. So we thought that, you know, but we also thought that I'd be able to use it inside, particularly given that I'm at this stage with my back where I can kind of stand for 5 minutes, have to collapse, stand for 5 minutes, have to collapse. So to be able to have the opportunity when I wanted to, say, do something in the kitchen or, you know, needed to get from the bed to the ensuite, that I had the ability to do that using a wheelchair. Anyways, that was the thinking behind why we were swapping sides, because the access on the left-hand side of the room, the way the bedroom needed to be configured, didn't allow the wheelchair to get around. So if I moved onto the other side of the bed, then it was direct access from the bedroom door to my side of the bed and also to the ensuite. So it made sense, right? That's right. That's what you would think. Anyway, however, we could have swung the bed around so that I was still sleeping on my side of the bed. But to do that would have meant I would have had no outlook whatsoever from the bedroom. And because, as you know, I do need to lie down at points during the day, it's really important to be able to look outside a window. Just any kind of outlook is better than no outlook at all. So, yeah, so that was our consideration as well. Anyway. Also, a few years ago, Peter put up a beautiful, gorgeous arbor outside our bedroom window with a climbing Banksia rose on it. And I wouldn't have been able to see that. And he did that so that I would have an outlook. And it just brings me amazing joy to see it when I'm resting. It's got these beautiful, delicate leaves and they tap on the window almost as if they're requesting permission, you know, to come into the room. It's just beautiful. So anyway, we thought swapping sleeping sides would be the end of necessary changes. So on top of everything else, we were doing that and we were committed to this changing of sides. Even that morning when I got up and everything felt pear-shaped and I didn't know what to do, but anyway, we still thought, no, come on, we've got to do this. We'll get used to it. Let's keep going. So we thought, as I said, we thought swapping sleeping sides would be the end of it. But there was a roll-on effect to this wheelchair being delivered, and knowing that we also needed to make changes in the wider home, because we just needed room. So anyway, so the wheelchair arrived a couple of days later, and my occupational therapist and the technician came. Beautiful ladies, both of them. We had a great lot of fun, and we were trying to see, based on how all our furniture was set up in the sort of lounge, dining, kitchen area, which is all very open plan but very small, how I could navigate around it all. So we did this test drive inside the home. But it became clear that our home really did need some major modifications for me to gain the benefits of the chair inside. And that was going to be a long-term thing and possibly would be approved under my government package, etc. But none of that was going to help in the interim. So we needed to look at what we could do to make some small but effective changes now. And so we thought, okay, we'll just have to look at all of our furniture, how it's set out, and what are we prepared to let go of, what can we let go of, and you know, are there any elephants in the room, I guess. The song from Frozen seems very applicable. You know, let it go, let it go. Sometimes we can be so sentimental about items we have, we can allow them to cause us to be frozen in time, unable to create a new experience, a new look, or a new future. Well, our frozen item was a beautiful dresser, a really tall dresser, had three glass doors at the top, LED light windows, and down the bottom was three cupboards with paneled doors. It was in a chestnut color, you know, wood, and it was just beautiful. And it was beautiful mostly because it was the first piece of furniture we had ever bought together when we first got married. But it was over large for this particular home. It looked gorgeous, and if you were able-bodied and, you know, loved the whole cottage theme, there was nothing wrong with it. There was plenty of space to get past. It was only that I need to use a walker and then possibly this wheelchair that, you know, the walker walked into it so many times it was ridiculous. I've been patching bits of it up as a result. So, you know, it's been a struggle to get past it. So we decided it was time to be brave and make the decision to part ways with that particular piece of furniture that had always made a house feel like a home. I guess to bring some context to that, Peter and I have moved nearly 20 times in the time that we've been married. Now, that's because Peter was an Anglican minister, so we moved a lot with the church. And then when we weren't moving with the church, I was moving with work. So we mostly have either been given housing through the church or we've been renting as a result of all of that. So the bricks and mortars of a home has never been a home to me. What's been a home has been my furniture. It's been my decor. It's been the way I've styled a house to make it always feel like home. And it didn't bother me whether I was renting. I still made it as if I owned it because it's my home. And I think that's what you should do. If you're going to live somewhere, it doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter whether you own it or not, treat it as your own and make it your space. It's where you lay your head at night. It's where you dream dreams. It's where you create memories. It's where you spend time with family and friends. You know, it's important to do that. So that's why that piece of furniture and all of our pieces of furniture have meaning, because they are the things that have created a home for us. It's probably why I love interior decorating, because I've had to do it so often. I've had to take weird homes and create them into something beautiful. I mean, some of the church homes that we've had, oh my goodness, you know, they've just been often disgusting. And, you know, to be able to turn them ugly ducklings into beautiful swans has been a real joy for me to do, and then leave that for the next family or the next couple that we're going to take that home on. So that's where all of that comes from with me, with liking to reinvent rooms and spaces and make them beautiful. So that's just a bit of context, I guess, of why I do the things that I do. But back to this story. It was time, as I said, for us to be brave and make the decision to part ways with this particular piece of furniture. If you want to see pictures of that, if you go to my blog, there's this topic is on there as well, and I've got pictures of the actual dresser and the changes that we made, and although I've tweaked it a little bit more even since then. But, yeah, it'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. So I decided that let's try and sell it, because, you know, we're struggling financially. So we thought, well, if we could sell it, that would be great. And then we could use that money, you know, to help us figure out what we're going to do with the contents that are in that cupboard, because it's like a really good dinner set, and there's things that we would want to give to the family later and all of that. So nothing was in there that really was, you know, a downsizable kind of issue. It was things that were really good stuff that we use as well. So it was important that we were able to figure out what to do. So thankfully, we've been able to sort that out and found a dresser that will be small enough to go in the lounge room and not go into that space. So and it won't impact any kind of movement with walkers or wheelchairs. So I'd never used Facebook Marketplace before, and I thought, well, I'll try it because I don't know what else to do, and everything has to be online with me. So I was a little nervous about listing this much-loved cabinet on site, but would you believe it? It sold in 5 minutes, even with the criteria that I gave, which was I put a price on it, got the price I wanted, also asked that the people, whoever bought it, they had to organise removalists to be able to take it away because at their own cost, because that was just part of the deal. That was agreed to as well. So I couldn't believe it. And yeah, that all just went so smoothly. That actually came out the next day. It's gone to, and I really wanted it to go to a home that wanted it, and it did. It went to a husband and wife that really wanted it. They'd been looking for this sort of cabinet for ages, and it felt right. It just felt good. So I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. So once it was gone, then we had the dilemma of what we would put along such a blank wall, because it's quite a big wall, because the cabinet was big. So you can imagine, you know, we were then left with this really big white wall in what was already an open plan living space. But we didn't want to fill it up, obviously, with too much, because that would have defeated the whole purpose of why we were emptying it in the first place. We didn't have, you know, the money, as I said, to buy new furniture, so we had to think outside the box. But we had lots of little bits of furniture scattered all throughout the house. So we had, you know, some hall tables down the passageway, which were gorgeous, very Hampton style, and not big at all. So we just rearranged things, and I'm really happy with the final decision. We also had the most beautiful print that had been framed of Melbourne in the late 1800s, and it's just lovely, and I've always loved it. Peter actually bought it for my 40th birthday, and my 40th birthday, and had it framed professionally. But we had it hanging out in the garage because we didn't have any room in the house. So to bring it back in has just been gorgeous. So what was a beautiful piece of furniture that we knew we were going to miss has been replaced with something that we've been missing for a long time. And it still feels like home, and it feels like we've come home, and it's just opened the space up beautifully. So mission accomplished. We actually did what we had set out to do, and I'm really, really happy with it. But I want to talk about the fact that it is okay to say no to change sometimes. Change is important. Change helps us grow. Change gives us opportunities. Change can be scary, yes, but part of that fear is what, you know, can drive us as well to search for something new, for something, again, that will be safe, because we're feeling a sense of fear even. So it's important. Change is really important. But it is also, and this is really important, okay to say enough is enough. I've had enough change. I just don't need any more at this precise moment. So after sorting out our living space issue, we decided we needed a good think and a discussion about our new sleeping arrangements. So very happy with our lounge room area, very happy with our kitchen dining area. Everything was working beautifully. The house was looking amazing. We felt like we'd just literally moved in again, but had settled in an even deeper way, even though we've been here nearly 5 years. But that's sort of the feeling it gave us. So it was a good feel, and it still is. But after 8 nights of sleeping on the opposite side of the bed, neither of us felt rested or relaxed. We were just getting more and more tired. We're still tired as a result of it all. So excuse my voice. Part of that is just complete and utter exhaustion. It's been so busy, and busy when you're in an extreme amount of pain is just not a good combination at all, I can assure you. Anyway, so we felt exhausted, and with the dangerous elbow by my side, which was really like a bow and arrow in my mind, I didn't feel safe. And I really didn't feel safe, to be honest. And Peter had been fast asleep and had hit me in the head so many times. I hit him in the head once as well, accidentally. I mean, all of this was accidental. So, you know, as I said, to be fair, you know, but, you know, Peter was elbowing me, and then I was accidentally turning around and he got it copped in the face. So, you know, it wasn't good. It wasn't good for either of us. So we made the decision probably about, oh, I don't know, about a week ago now, I think, that swapping sleeping sides was just one change too many. So, you know, what I want to pass on to you through this experience is there are some changes that are just too far off a reach. And for us, the swapping sleeping sides was that. You know, I said to Peter, you can't, you got to remember now, he's in his 80s as well. So change at that age is just like really difficult anyway. And then a change that you are making after 28 years of doing the same thing is just, yeah, it was just too much. There was no way he couldn't stop from keep coming over to his old side. That was never going to happen. And I was just going to end up like a, you know, a squashed ant, let's face it. So it just wasn't going to happen. So my message to you today is, you know, it's okay to sometimes admit defeat. In fact, I think it often takes more strength of character and courage to do that than to continue with a situation or a circumstance that just isn't right for you. And also, much of what we were doing was actually being driven by others, being driven by, you know, what in a sense they felt was going to be best for us and for our future. And this wheelchair in particular, which ended up being more like a bulldozer than anything else in terms of inside the house, it just was never going to work. So, you know, there was so much that we didn't need to do, but there were things that we did need to do. Like, we definitely needed to get rid of that cabinet. We definitely needed to make more space for me to move more freely with the walker. And, you know, and I actually have to sit on that sometimes and scoot around as if I'm in a wheelchair. And we have a slightly smaller wheelchair that we're going to try out as well. So there was many reasons for us to do that. That was the right thing to do. But you know what? We are just so pleased to be back on our usual side of the bed. I don't usually sleep very well anyway due to my pain, but my goodness, I sleep a lot better when I'm in my slumber comfort zone. That much I've learned. So I hope that if you're facing your own kind of dilemma of trying to make a change and it's not working, that you have the courage to change when you need to and the strength to refuse to change when necessary, because you'll know what's right for you. It will be, again, that sense of peace, that sense of relief and happiness wafting over you as you make the decision that is best fit for you at that particular moment, at that time of your life. So on that note, I am going to say, because it's getting late here, good night. And I'm going to enjoy my beautiful bed. I'm going to enjoy my beautiful side. And I'm going to hope that I have some sweet dreams, which I'm sure I will. And I hope that you do too. And yeah, I hope that any changes that you're making, I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a line. If you've had a similar experience, you can comment on the podcast page, and there's room there to comment. So, or you can send me a direct message and let me know your own experiences of what's worked and what's not. And I'm sure you've all got some funny anecdotal stories as well. So take care, everybody. As I said, sweet dreams, and I will talk to you again very soon on the next episode of Medical Musings with Sam. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Bye. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to this podcast or you can leave a review. I would really appreciate your support. If you would like to have more of my medical musings in your world on a regular basis, I also have a blog which you can find at www.mymedmusings.com. I post there at least weekly, so there's lots for you to read and be involved with. If you would really like to be a part of a nurturing community, Medical Musings with Friends is a private support group on Facebook, offering the hand of friendship, support, true care and understanding to anyone living with chronic illness. We would love to welcome you into our community. Just search Medical Musings with Friends on Facebook, click join, and you will receive the warmest of welcomes. I also have a book, My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith, and hope living with a rare disease. It's available now through Amazon and my publisher, Imagine We Publishers. I would love for you to check it out. There's something in the My Medical Musings world for everyone. Something different to suit your needs. I hope you do find something that resonates with you and helps you feel you are not alone. Because you're not. Remember, chronic illness is a part of your life, not all of your life. Take care.